We are now on chapter 14. We've gone through to the tipping point of the second half of Revelation, and I've called this little talk, It's Harvest Time. If we remember that Revelation is an unveiling, essentially, of Jesus, of who he is in a way we would never encounter in the Gospels, of who we are in him, as his followers, of the unseen realm, and of the end of this age. It's sort of shaped around these three sevenfold pictures of human suffering, and we've had the seven seals and seven trumpets, and we're on the brink of the seven bowls, and I've seen them a bit like labour pains, which are gain momentum in pain, but come to this breakthrough of new birth, finally the new heaven and the new earth. And chapter 13 last week felt like the darkest hour just before the dawn, felt like the whole world had gone mad. It was led easily astray by this unholy alliance between dark and temporal religious and political powers. However, we see in chapter 14 that the narrative of the book of Revelation finally depicts the tipping point. We suddenly see, actually, victory will, the light will triumph, the Lamb will triumph, that the people who follow him will. We've seen that earlier in chapters 4 and 5, but it feels like those intermediate chapters are so... there's so much emphasis on the temporal dominance of evil systems and powers that it almost can lose faith that the Lamb himself and his followers will triumph. But here we break through into the victory offered purely through Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus, and in this depiction, he is as a lamb, because that was the image of his incredible, gentle and humble sacrifice. But through that, he is triumphant, and he has an army of followers who, through worshipping him, live triumphantly. And we'll get a bit more to what we mean by words like army, that it's a very different spirit to the kind of spirit we've been looking at, the religious and political spirit. These followers are free from slavery to the world system. There's a purity to them, and they don't need to lie anymore. They're fully in truth, and the truth of the conquest of Jesus has set them free to worship him. So I felt the big question was, how is this breakthrough achieved against all those principalities and powers of evil, which we've seen have been so dominant, and particularly in the last chapter, actually led so many people astray? Well, the vindication of Christ and his followers has already been achieved through Jesus' death and resurrection. This is simply us waiting on tenterhooks for the Lord's perfectly timed execution of justice on all which remains evil, despite the witness of the cross. In other words, evil may appear to be powerful and strong, but actually since the cross, it has always been on the losing side. The end of the age of the waiting for the fulfillment of the cross has already come. The Lamb has already triumphed and is worthy of worship, because he alone paid the price through laying down his life for all of humanity. And it's this distinct spirit that the Lamb has that separates what following him looks like to following the world system. The Holy Spirit is completely opposite to the spirit here, seen as Babylon, which could refer to any evil system, or it could be Rome, or a generic world system, or even our old nature. It's a sort of symbol of a life and a culture marked by complete self-obsession and inability to love in the way God loves. And then in contrast, we have the Lamb, who is loving and humble and gentle and self-sacrificial. And his way actually is the one that it proves to be more dominant and stronger. As the prophet Zechariah put it, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. No amount of military, political or religious dominance can withstand the life that's unleashed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we can see that there are two kinds of people and two kinds of ways. There are those who are deceived by the seduction of powerful alliances between political and religious systems, who live deluded and self-focused lives, and they are become subject to judgment because they tend to act out the injustices that they've come into agreement with. And then on the other hand, you have people who choose to follow the Lamb. They are an army of worshippers, no longer defining themselves by colluding with the world's deceptive ways, but in purity, entering into that humble, gentle, pure, loving and truth-speaking way of life. And we see as well that the Lord, in this spirit, he is actually sovereign over nations, empires, times and seasons, and both the seen and the unseen realm. So however harsh the sufferings of followers of the Lamb has been, and we know at the moment around the world, There's just such brutal suffering and persecution going on. For all of us, we can be encouraged that however impossible it feels, that good will triumph over evil. We can simply see that the Lord is just waiting for the right time to act. He knows that the work of salvation through the cross must run its course so that every tribe, language, people and nation has a genuine witness and a genuine opportunity to change and become like Jesus. And that when that has happened, there will be an hour, a day, a time of accountability, which will be the most glorious day of jubilation for those who have chosen to follow the Lamb, but utter horror for those who have chosen to reject his sacrificial death. And there's this beautiful image of this harvest, of both a grain harvest and a grape harvest. So for grain and grape workers in first century Asia, the harvest would have been the busiest and most exciting time of the year, the highlight that they would all look forward to, but also the toughest time as well, because it was such hard work and they wouldn't want to miss any aspect of it. But all their ploughing, sowing, waiting, watering and watching finally pays off as they see the wheat grow to full capacity, ready for harvest. And similarly, those tending vineyards would have been anticipating those delicious bunches of grapes and then the celebratory drinks of wine for months, most of the year. And that we see with the wheat and the grapes, which of course can be made into bread and wine, can for us become symbolic of Christ's death and resurrection to the Jewish reader, of course, the original Passover, and then fulfilled in Christ. In his crucifixion, he took in his body all the sin, the corruption, the violence, the defilement, the impurity, toxicity, deception of Babylon's ways, and he allowed the whole evil system to die with him. And in his resurrection, he overcame all that system's power and capacity, giving the keys to freedom for all of us who want to be delivered from that hellish existence. In his body broken and his blood shed, a new, pure, whole, happy, peaceful, joyful, truthful humanity is ripe for harvest, a people who love and worship and adopt the Lamb and his ways. The bloodshed, right at the end, has a number of stadia, 1600, is the same measurement as the length of Israel, possibly symbolising that the thorough cleansing and covering available to all Israel, all who would believe, has been achieved through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. However, at this day, when all wrongs are righted and all sins brought into the light and dealt with and all injustices made just, the one behind the evil world system, the Satan as he's called, which simply means the accuser himself, will be judged for leading the nations astray. And this harvest will not just be good news for the followers of the Lamb, it will be terrifying for those who obstinately continue to follow the Satan and his ways. This harvest will literally torment those who chose to enjoy all the seductions of the world system for a temporal season. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest, and he determines the exact time to harvest. Whilst waiting may seem so dark and confusing and painful to those suffering intense persecution for following the Lamb and adopting his ways in the context of evil systems, the final harvest of those who refuse to will be literally unbearable, a permanent torment. However big or bad Babylon may seem, the world's ways, the world's thinking, the world's power, this chapter gives real hope and with it a strong warning that the victory has in fact already been won. God is creator, he is infinite, he is judge, he is able to intervene at any time, and at the right time he will intervene and win easily and convincingly. This victory, as we've said already, has not been won through the demon logic of might and power, but through the Holy Spirit's logic of love and sacrifice. And if we follow this path in our life, putting our confidence in the death of Jesus' body on the cross and the shedding of his blood, we will find that gently, quietly, when that day comes, we will too rejoice at the harvest. Moreover, in this age, in our daily lives, we will find that as we contend to do good without giving up in every day, creative, even little ways, we will find in the words of Paul, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.